Blog Talk Radio. Well, good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Wherever and whenever you happen to be listening, you are listening to the Better Living Daily Radio Show. I am your host, Karen Bemis, and today is October 15th, 2015. me and my tech issues, here we are again with some more tech issues. My printer's not working again. Seems every time my son prints from the tablet, we are having these issues, just like we did last week. And then he'll come home and he'll fix it, and I'll have four copies of all my notes. Anyway, so that's kind of the sitch in my part of the world. And so if I'm a little discombobulated, it's because I'm working from notes that are I'm trying to stay in and out of the chat room too. That kind of changes things as well. So anyway, the title of today's show is The Hour to Half Life Change. And it's been such a crazy week here. It's been a week of perspective. And if you're a friend of mine on Facebook, a young woman I know lost a child. Another young couple that I know have a child who is recovering from her second open heart surgery and had a huge setback this week. We weren't sure she was going to make it through the night earlier this week. And I had a few challenges of my own in the parenting realm. But, you know, knowing the situations of other parents just kind of keeps things in perspective for the most part. we'll get to that later. And the other thing that gave me a jolt of perspective was attending a lecture. I know, crazy, huh? It was about transitioning your ADHD teen to adulthood, which a friend invited me, and I figured I'd go. Maybe I would learn something. Was a little worried because it's really geared toward professionals. But the best way to describe the evening was eye-opening, not just about ADHD either, which is why I'm sharing it here. The lecture was conducted by a doctor. So I'm going, oh, God, it's going to be dry, it's going to be boring, you know, all those things that you think about. And I'm not always good at paying attention when I'm bored. And, my little apple didn't fall too far from the tree. But the doctor was so entertaining that I honestly only looked at my cell phone once to see what time it was. And that was when the moderator said that the time was up. And I thought, well, maybe he only talked for an hour. But he had gone on for an hour and a half. I did not get bored once. And even during his explanations of the neurobiological workings of the brain, I was able to stay engaged. That's got to tell you something. If you know me, yeah, neurobiology would not be something I would ever voluntarily want to listen about. And I hope you'll bear with me, too, because some of the highlights of this talk were some of the most eye-opening things I've been told in a very long time. Because, you know, everybody thinks that ADHD is this bad thing. People with attention issues, it's like the new thing. Do you have any idea when the symptoms of ADHD show up in medical journals for the first time? Well, I certainly didn't. And it was something he asked us. the, we're all saying the 80s, the 70s, you know, somebody even said the 1950s, and he just laughed at us, you know. And the first time childhood inattention shows up in a medical textbook, is in 1775. When a man named Melchior Adam Weikart wrote about distractibility, poor persistence, and impulsive actions in children. Then in 1778, another guy, Alexander Creighton, provided more detail and even mentioned the inability to focus. It's about ADHD being a fad, if you're a person who, you know, has to, quote, defend what you do. Share that little piece of information with them and go, aha, while you're at it. Go ahead. I dare you. You know, what's interesting, though, is that the observations and the studies for these type of issues actually started in the early 20th century. And he explained why that was as well, because that was when children, for the first time, were forced to sit in a classroom all day. That is when mandatory school came about. Before that, kids came and went, and those kids who didn't do well in school didn't stay in school. Now we have this concentration of kids that were forced to sit in one place all day and concentrate for an extended period for the first time. And, you know, I've talked about how my son is not medicated because of his medical condition. But what was also very interesting and also kind of a myth about ADHD is the fact that they started using stimulant medication way back then, way back in that, you know, the early part of the 20th century. And it is the second most studied drug situation on the market. It's been studied more than anything else except for one thing. And that one thing that's been studied more has been around way longer than this stuff. You know, just as an aside, I don't know if you know about aspirin, but it is basically said today that if aspirin was invented today, it would not be an over-the-counter drug because it is so dangerous. Isn't that interesting? But it was over-the-counter long before that kind of stuff came along. So anyway, you know, on to other things. One of the other things I found interesting is he talked about how people with attention issues handle time and handle punishment. And I think we all know that small children struggle with long-term thinking. They detest being yelled at. Well, because of an underdeveloped prefrontal cortex in the brain, those with attention issues have difficulty seeing life in the long term. Sorry, I had to add a note. they struggle longer and sometimes lifetime for their entire lives with being yelled at. And although there's some research that there's different kinds of ADHD or ADD or however you want to look at it, and that there's actually one kind where kids can become addicted to being yelled at because it stimulates their adrenaline and it makes it easier for them to focus. For the parents of those kids, that explains a lot. But then there's that question, and actually the parents of a whole lot of kids. There's a reason there are memes everywhere about why does mom have to become a raving lunatic before anybody does anything. Well, it may lie in the whole prefrontal cortex thing and getting addicted to the adrenaline. But then there's all these questions about how do we go about changing that? Is there a way to change that? You know, what's very interesting is that the normal prefrontal cortex of the brain is fully developed by age 25. So even the best of us don't have our faculties fully developed by age 25. For those of us who have attention issues, further out. You know what's very interesting? I don't know if you know this, but to rent a car, you have to be 25 years old. Isn't that interesting? I think it is. You know, for most people by that age, their understanding of the correlation between behavior and consequences is developed. And for most people, this is how it goes. Children under five need immediate feedback to understand the connection between behavior and consequences. It needs to be immediate. Reading a book, watching a video, playing a game has to come immediately after a desired behavior. How many people do you know have trained their potty trained their kids with M&Ms? Go potty, I'll give you an M&M. It works, but you can't say, go potty and I'll give you some ice cream after dinner. That doesn't work. But if they can see the M&M and know they're going to get the M&M, boom, they're on it, right? Now, children in first through third grade, they have about a 1 to 2 hour time frame. You know, finish your homework by dinner, and you can play an hour of video games after dinner. You know, that kind of thing. Children in fourth through seventh grade, it's about a day. The more advanced ones, it'll be a little bit longer than that. And as kids go through their teens, they start to develop that 5 to 7 day time frame. If you want to go out with your friends this weekend, you have to have your homework done by Thursday. Stuff like that. This would have been great knowledge to have when my son was in third grade, because that's when it became so frustrating for me to incentivize him. It never worked. And I know why. Because in kids that are delayed with the prefrontal cortex, they're behind. My son still needed immediate gratification. When I thought, you know, finish your homework by dinner, you can play after dinner, he didn't get that. It didn't make any sense to him. So what this guy said was, like, whatever their age is, so if they're 12, do that 4 to 7. That's really where they are. And, it's very interesting. I realized my treats for my son were too far in the future. And, you know, all children and adults need rewards. And I honestly think kids and adults with ADHD need even more rewards. You know, a few years ago, I had started watching The Biggest Loser on TV, and I had to stop watching it. I'm sorry. Occasionally, I'm peeking into the chat room, and one of my friends in there said, she would go potty for M&M's, so there you go. Oh, you guys, you kill me. And yes, those meltdowns, it's amazing how it life changes when it happens. But anyway, I'd watched The Biggest Loser thinking, oh, maybe I'll learn some things. Well, I had to stop watching it because I figured out that show is not going to help me. I didn't need a trainer that yelled at me and pushed me to my breaking point, because you know what? I had been doing that internally all my life. And guess what? I was still fat. No one had to remind me of why I wanted to lose weight. I know why. I know all the right reasons. I didn't need a trainer to push me. I needed was a kinder way of being. For me, losing weight isn't about working out. It's not about starving myself. I have to focus on taking excellent care of myself, rather than pushing myself with threats and negative self-talk. I'd been punishing myself for decades, and it didn't work. What I started doing recently was deciding to pamper myself, to take care of myself. And I love the term that the doctor used. Instead of focusing on everything I've done wrong in the past, I decided to become more forward thinking. I love that phrase. Here's a great example. If you don't do your homework, you don't get to play video games. how often have we said that to kids if we're parents? Or, if I don't finish this, I'm not going to eat dinner. I'm not going to go to this party. I'm not going to get on my computer. You know, we do it to ourselves all the time. You know, Anne's in the chat room. She and I are writing. If I don't write 1,000 words today, I am not going to have any chocolate tonight. I don't know, whatever. You know, another way to phrase it. As soon as you finish your homework, you can play video games. Those of us who are adults, that is the same statement. Don't do your homework, you don't get to play video games. Do your homework, you get to play video games. Basically, it means completing the homework means you get the good thing, right? To a child with ADHD, the only statement they hear in that first sentence is, they don't get to play video games. That's all they hear. You know, I heard somebody years ago, Zig Ziglar was one of them, Rita Davenport is one of them, and I've talked about this before, that while you're talking to children, let's say you're out for a family walk, and your little one's running down the street, and you have to keep telling them, you know, going to get them or getting them to come back, whatever you're trying to get them, what do you yell at them? Don't run. Don't run. Well, guess what? And the child has to think about that undesired behavior before they can think about the desired behavior. And guess what? The adult never even stated the desired behavior in the first place. What if, instead of telling them, don't run, you say to the child, slow down. Or, and if you really want to be extraordinary about it, figure out why you don't want them to run in the first place. Oh, that's a big one. You're afraid they'll run out into the street? Tell them that. But you know what? That's your fear, not theirs. Not going to mean as much to them. However, if you give them reasons, like, you know what? We'd like to be able to talk to you. And when you're down there, that's very difficult for us. Spend time with the family. That helps them. We want to hear how your day was. Give them reasons, because it will make you think about your own motivations as well. And I will tell you what, this is a life skill that will serve you so well. And it's simple, but it is not easy. You know, this morning I caught my 15-year-old with electronics in his bed for the third time this week. Okay, we've only had 4 mornings. And I'm tired of it. You know, I wanted to lambaste this kid so bad. I really did. You know, I wanted him to feel as bad as I did about what he did. But I think I found a better way. You know, my son doesn't like to ride the bus. And he's been driven to school for the past few years. He loves being taken to school. I do it because I love my son. And I've done it for my other two as well. The only thing I ask of them is to keep the morning moving well, on time, stress-free. We do a lot of things. You know, we pre-pack lunches. We do all kinds of things to make the morning smooth. So, you know, when my son sneaks those electronics into his room, he doesn't sleep well, and it makes for a very stressful morning. Then you add the half an hour extra that it takes for me to drop my son off, the extra tank of gas each week because of running back and forth. And I get irritated. And then we have that lovely morning drama that none of us wants. So to make the point this morning, I called our transportation department. And I asked them what I needed to do to have him ride the bus in the morning. And I called while he was still home so that he could hear the conversation. Didn't say a word to him about it. He has not been punished, so to speak. But I did explain to him that from now on, the choice is his. If he chooses to have electronics in the bed, he chooses to ride the bus. If he chooses to go to bed on time and get himself up in the morning, I'll take him. Okay, it wasn't that calm. And it wasn't that perfect of a conversation. You know, I got aggravated, raised my voice. Been a stressful and underslept work for me, week for me too. And, you know, I'm not perfect. Never even hinted that I am in any way. You know, each day I just try to do better than the one before. And honestly, there was a time I would have blown the first day and then lost my mind the second day and just wouldn't have even known what to do on the third day. But so it's better than it was in the past. And the thing is that, you know, I'm trying to teach him how life teaches, treats us as adults. If we make good decisions, life is generally better. Life is generally more of a challenge. Unfortunately, we've been conditioned more to beat ourselves up when we make a bad decision than to lift ourselves up when we make a good one. You know, and I wonder, what would it be like if we tried to change that? What if we tried to turn our lives around? How can we change it? You know, one of the people who was attending said, "What do you say to parents who say that life isn't forward thinking? You know, life's about consequences. You don't do what you're supposed to, bad things happen." And his response actually shocked me because he disagreed. And he said, "You know, the reason I go to work is because I get paid. I love my job, but if they called me tomorrow and said, 'Hey, guess what? We're not going to pay you anymore,' he said, 'Guess what? I'm not going. I'm not going.'" You know, I understand there's people out there like Bill Gates, who never has to work another day in his life. He does what he does, not for money. He does it for another reason. But the vast majority of people out there, we go to work because we get paid. And he says, "So after I get paid, then I buy stuff that I like." It really is forward thinking. And it was like, you could just see, I mean, it's like the room lit up, man. Light bulb after light bulb was going off. Because you could see a lot of these people had never, ever seen this before. And Allie's talking about my other moms coming unglued. Oh, honey, it happens everywhere. Even the calmest of moms can be unseated now and then, trust me. We are given those challenges for a reason. But, you know, I decided I wanted to live forward a long time ago. I have just recently figured out how much I need joy in my life and how much it hasn't been there. And, you know, if you are friends with me on Facebook, which if you're not, you know, like the Better Living Daily page, send me a friend request, whatever. If I don't know you, I won't accept a friend request. So join the page at first and start commenting and maybe we'll become friends because I found friends that way. You know, the people that I talked about at the beginning of the broadcast, I've asked for prayers for them. And, you know, in the past, what happened to those people would have just drained me emotionally. It would have been my excuse for not doing anything. But you know what? They would not want to be responsible for that. I mean, would you, if you were in a bad way, would you want to be responsible for other people suffering, for them not taking care of their kids or their home? No, of course you wouldn't. So what I decided instead was to muster the best day I could and in the most kindly way go about my business and mind my own business. Not that nasty, mind your own business, but the business of living. I have the business of taking care of my kids. And in their honor, I tried to do it really, really well. It's where I could keep my temper when I would have completely lost it in the past. And something he talked about when he said, when you're working with raising children with, he said ADHD, but I think children in general, and especially those with issues, he said it's like working with butterflies. He said that when you work with butterflies, you can't grab them by the wings and make them do what you want them to do. Because if you grab them by the wings, they can't fly and they'll die. You can't pounce on them or run after them or you'll scare them away. The best thing you can do with a butterfly and observe and be peaceful. And when they feel comfortable, they're going to fly near you. And eventually, when they feel really comfortable, they'll open their wings and they'll show you just how beautiful they are. I honestly think that if we taught parents to teach their kids, treat their kids like that, if we taught human beings to treat other human beings that way, life would be so very different. You know, before time gets away from me, I want to really quickly remind you that I have some friends that do great work, forward-thinking work. My friend Jules, Time on My Hands, Mondays, 2:30 Eastern, great show. All things herbal, and occasionally we even step out of the kitchen like we did this week. Grandma's Garden follows me. If you know somebody with ADHD, she's a great resource. She talks about, you know, just living with ADHD. All of her kids have it. She has it. It's a wonderful, she's on at 12:30. But for me, you know, my little butterflies, my listeners, you know, two of my greatest joys are seeing you all fly and seeing you land near me. When you spread your wings and I see how beautiful each one of you really are. I want to thank those of you in the chat room who have been here today. I want to thank those of you who are listening on the archives, those who will end up reading this. I will thank them as well. Have a wonderful day, an even better week, and I hope to see you next Thursday. Love you all. Bye-bye.